When we were going through high school, one of the conversations that would come up from time to time would be, what is your sign? Well, I didn't follow the horoscope very carefully, so I never really did get a handle on, I don't know, born October 27th. Anybody know what my sign is? I'm a scorpion. That's it. Yeah. So some along the way, I would throw out that, oh well, I must be a scorpion. As we look at all those different opportunities today, I was hoping we might focus a little bit more on a different sign today. What is, in fact, the sign of love? If you have your Bibles and want to turn in Acts chapter 14, starting in verse 8, we find Paul and Barnabas illustrating this sign of love in a very real and practical way. But even as they do that, they find themselves misunderstood. In Lystra, there was a man sitting who could not use his feet and had never walked, for he had been crippled from birth. He listened to Paul as he was speaking, and Paul, looking at him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And the man sprang up and began to walk. When the crowd saw what Paul had done, they shouted in the Lyconian language, "The gods have come down to us in human form." Barnabas they called Zeus, and Paul they called Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. The priest of Zeus, whose temple was just outside the city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates. He and the crowds wanted to offer sacrifice. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd, shouting, "Friends, why are you doing this? We are mortals just like you, and we bring you good news that you should turn from these worthless things to the living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to follow their own ways, yet he has not left himself without a witness in doing good, giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, and filling you with food and your hearts with joy." Even with these words, they scarcely restrained the crowds from offering sacrifice to them. This sign of love that was given in a very real kind of way to that early crowd was a bit misunderstood. Paul and Barnabas came bearing the good news. They were sharing the gospel. And in that process, those that were there had a whole different take on what was going on. They really thought that the gods had blessed them personally and had shown up in human form, and they were looking at Zeus and Hermes in the midst. I guess they would have asked the apostles what their sign was, and whether it was Sagittarius or Capricorn or what other places you look at for your guidance. Paul and Barnabas were very quick to point them back to the true sign of love. That it's what God has done through His Son, Jesus, for us to continue to offer joy in His name and to do good. I was so happy this past weekend that at Alderson Broaddus College, they sponsored a Do Good Weekend. We have a youth alliance here in town on Friday nights. Code Blue meets every Friday. And so they had requested that we relocate the Friday activities up on campus. So after a couple of van loads, I think we ended up, 35, 40 youth from our community. And there was at least 25 or 30 college students that were there. And they had a wonderful evening together, connecting with each other, playing basketball, can jam, just offering a time where we could share in some fellowship together. And I finally asked, I said, now who sponsored this? I mean, I know they invited Code Blue to come up, but what was it a part of? And they said, well, it's part of this weekend called Do Good Weekend. And so they also had all kinds of orange vests on yesterday. They were out cleaning up and helping in that manner as well. It's one of the greatest signs of love that can ever be given, is that we actually do something for someone else. Now, one day, we may catch up with Barbara Smith and her giving. I don't know that we ever will, because she had to do our part of picking up trash, and then you went to the museum. Was there something there next? And was it a cleaning there as well? Of course. Yeah, all right. So there's always something that can be done. There's always opportunity for cleaning. This Saturday, as we have this scaffolding in place, Glenn Sweet, I hear you're a monkey. Is Glenn still around? Yeah, Glenn knows the rafters very well, and we are very much looking forward to him scaffolding up to the top and doing what needs to be done along with the rest of us. I think there needs to be a ground crew that's helping in some form or fashion. So Bob and I are going to make sure we're a part of the ground crew there and to give moral support. One of the greatest signs of love that we still have to give today is to do good, is to find those opportunities that place themselves in our community, that place themselves in our lives, and to reach out in Jesus' name. John chapter 13. It's interesting that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all find Jesus reciting the Shema, the great prayer from the Old Testament. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. But John, he takes it even one step further. In John chapter 13, we find Jesus saying these words, 34 and following, I give you a new commandment. What is this sign? How is it that we are known or should be known? He says, that you what? Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. As we were in the middle of sharing with the youth and the students down there on Friday night, I get a text message. And one of my neighbors is having a barbecue. And I'm not sure I've ever seen this request before. The request was, we need some extra company for our barbecue. Would you mind if we borrowed your furry one out back? I don't own a squirrel. A furry one out back. They must be talking about our dog that's outside. I mean, I'm trying to put this together. I'm about an hour late getting the text, and so I just go with that. I say, you can borrow Cubby anytime you like. He loves to have neighbors. I guessed right. That's what they were talking about. So sure enough, they took Cubby, and they brought him over to their apartment, and on the back of their porch was a metal rod that was sticking up off the back porch, perfect to stick his lead line over. And as they had their barbecue, Cubby enjoyed the company. He had a great time. They were saying it was amazing how he learned very quickly where they wanted him and where they didn't want him to be while they were gathered around this campfire that was out next to their apartment. So when we finally rolled in from the youth gathering, I don't know, 10:30 or so, I got to go over and just sort of sit there for a while. And it was a very privileged place to sit. Some of those individuals were saying they had some apprehension about coming to Philippi, West Virginia, coming from larger places. They weren't exactly sure how they would be received. And I heard comment after comment about what a joy it was to be here in Philippi, to share in the lives of the students that were here, to be in this particular community. And one I think one of the biggest reservations of coming to a Baptist-related school, it wasn't her necessary, her background. And so it was like, I wasn't quite sure how those Baptists would be. And she said, I was greatly impressed to see how much you don't talk about what you're against, and you talk more about what you're for. How it doesn't seem to be a negative kind of thing to be connected to a church, but that it was something that you wanted to share with others. And that she said, and I actually felt comfortable enough in recommending the chaplain or other folks that we ran across to tell students that that's where they can go to help find answers. Or just when questions come up, there are people that care about them. What is the sign of love? It's this opportunity to take an investment in someone else's lives. It's a new commandment that I'm giving you. Although there's nothing new under the sun, it was a reminder for us that we are at our best when we love one another. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and following. The writer of Romans gives us some further details about these signs that we need to have in our lives. In fact, he sort of steps us through a process that he says will in fact be not only a discipling process, but a maturing process that happens in all of our lives. He says, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. There are many of you here this morning that can walk us through that whole process that you have faced already in your life. There have been sufferings beyond description, whether it be due to health issues that are beyond our control, whether it's situations in our families, whether it's related to our jobs. But even through those times of suffering, you have in fact learned to endure. It is not only the byproduct, but it is the natural outcome of allowing suffering to do what only it can do. Through our endurance, it then builds character. The qualities in our life that appear whether anybody else is looking or not, that allows us to have the fortitude to take the next step even when it is too painful or uncertain to take the next step. And as we continue to take the next step, we do enter into a time of hope. Hope that does not disappoint. Hope that is filled with this love that has been poured into our own lives not so that we can just collect it, but that we can then dispense it and share it. I'm so glad that the Grinch's heart was made so many sizes bigger than it was to start with. That it burst out of its frame that was encasing it and enslaving it in that great fable from Dr. Seuss. And I often think that that is how our hearts should be, that they should be filled. But the writer of Romans goes on in verse 6, he says, "For while we were still weak," while we still realized that we could not see the end on our own, we did not have enough to go forward by ourselves, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. And guess who is in the crowd of the ungodly? You are. But you be very careful when you point a finger at somebody, right? Because there's all kinds still pointing back at yourself. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. And here it is. This is the sign that is given to us from God. But God proves His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by His blood, we will be saved through Him from the wrath of God. I'm not going to preach Caleb's message again on reconciliation, but that is certainly where the next few verses go. We now have been reconciled to God. The ledgers have been balanced, not because of what we can do, but because of what God has already done. I find myself learning a new language from time to time as I continue to delve into the texting world. There are all sorts of neat little smiley faces that you can make out of these common things that used to be called semicolons and colons and parentheses and equal signs. But then I also know that there is something we can do with our hands, and Allison's really, really good at it. But somehow, I don't know, is that pretty close? I think you can make a heart with your hands. Is that anybody want to try that with me? The sign of love, it goes beyond, let's see, I think that's, I don't know, something like that. That's pretty close. The sign of love is that our hearts should be filled so that we can then extend that love to others. It has been done too many times in the name of God that we browbeat and beat down those that are already in a very bad place. Sometimes I think we as Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. If anyone shows sign of weakness or imperfection, it's almost like a feeding frenzy. We say, "Oh my, look," and we point and we judge. And if you've not had the opportunity to see the new movie out called Home Run, it gives you a different perspective. That even in the midst of our own issues, our hurts, habits, and hang-ups, we can understand that God's grace is larger than anything that holds us captive by ourselves. Paul takes some time to the church at Galatia. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 and following. It's quite a list. You've probably heard the other list after that. The fruits of the Spirit. Anybody heard of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. But we probably don't spend too much time on the first list. And I don't think Paul wrote the first list so that he could then say, look how I have arrived. I'm going to list all of these things to show you what you're doing wrong. I think he was speaking to his own heart as well as everybody present. These are things that are common to man. These things, if left to themselves, will take us farther than we want to go and leave us there much longer than we want to stay. So we find Paul writing these words, Galatians 5:16. Live by the Spirit, I say. Do not gratify the desires of the flesh, for what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious. And we've put in a colon after that as we list the list. Fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions. We take a breath. Envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I'm warning you, as I warned you before, those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, I just said a few minutes ago, I really don't like being known what we're against. But Paul takes some time to remind us of where we have all come from. Where we all have a common connection. And if you actually might make it through that list and say, well, I'm not there at all. Oh, there's more. Just in case you may think you have somehow gotten around Paul's point. But none of us are subject to those things anymore. Paul is saying, I want you to see this sign of love. It's the fruits of the Spirit that then give us life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. One of the scenes in Home Run that shocks the baseball player who's trying out this program to help him get back on track, and of course it's in the walls of the church, and so there's a gentleman up there and he is giving his personal testimony. He has basically lost everything in his life, his family, his work. They found him on his computer at work looking at things that were not appropriate in any setting, let alone at work. Every recorded history that he did on his internet browser was in fact documented in the IT department in the office that he worked in. So he lost his job, he lost his family. And so he was up there giving details of his own experience. So the baseball player quickly gets up and leaves. He says, listen, I guess I'm in the wrong place. He said, I'm here just because I drink too much. He said, this doesn't have anything to do with me. But it was a great reminder. And he said, I didn't know you could talk about those kind of things in church. Well, Paul seems to talk about those things to the early church. And he takes some time to point us to not where we've been, but where we are going. Not what can consume our life, but what will motivate our lives as we allow them to fill our time, our energy, our purposes. A little bit before that, in Galatians 5, he gives these words in verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, and only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single command: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. It's a great word from Paul of what this sign of love ought to look like. We need to be found guilty of loving our neighbor. Especially our neighbors that don't look like us. Especially our neighbors that don't line up with our same way of thinking. And there's an attitude of respect that comes out of connecting with all those around you that only can be given by God's Spirit. So, I don't know how good that is to show what the sign of love is. Hopefully that's a heart. Maybe. I don't know if it's a heart or not. I am hoping our sign of love goes beyond something we can try to put together with our hands. But that our sign of love is shown in our very lives. And that we participate in this new commandment. That we take it on as our banner cry. And that we are going to love one another. Just as grace has been extended to us, we're going to continue to extend that grace to others. To do good. To not be idle. And at every opportunity to show the true signs of love. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. O Thou who has ordered this wondrous world, who knowest all things in earth and heaven, so fill our hearts with trust in Thee, that by night and day, at all times and in all seasons, we may be without fear. And that we may commit all that we have and hope to be in Thy never-failing love. For this life and the life to come, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen.